Holy Spirit, as you have been with us and you live in us, now come in your word and use my words continually. Remind us and give us the hope and the joy that only come from Jesus, who lived and died and rose and ascended for us. In his name, amen. Today we're looking at Revelation 22, which I said is about our imagination, or God's imagination, a sanctified and holy imagination, and what that does. You see, our imaginations, yours and in your mind, are quite powerful. How you imagine the future really affects what you'll do or how you live in the present. Whether we acknowledge it or not, when something happens and you start to think about the future, you can imagine a story, and how you see that playing out really affects how you feel and what you might do and what might happen. So let's say you've been gone, build a scenario for you've been gone on vacation for a week, and you're just getting back home. You pull in the driveway, ready to sleep in your own bed, be home. You walk up the three steps to your front door of your house, and as you reach for the door handle, you notice that it's not fully closed. You lock the door, the handle's locked, but you know it didn't click shut. It's just a little bit open, and you notice it. So then what does your mind do? What kind of story do you build? Where does that go? Has it been unlocked all week? Did I forget to close it? I must have. What was I thinking? Or maybe somebody broke in. Maybe somebody's inside right now. Yes, they are inside. They probably took everything. There's nothing in there. What? Oh, no, maybe they're still in there. Maybe it's not safe. I can't go inside. I don't know what to do. I don't think I can live here anymore if somebody's in there and they took... I can't. What do I do? My house isn't safe. I can't be here. You know what? I better just close the door, get a match, light it, burn the house down, you know, move somewhere else, just start over. You know, at some point, something's happened, and our mind can run. Now, maybe not that far, but our mind can build a story, and our imagination can really take us places. Well, one Christian writer, some of you heard me say this before, says what we add to our imagination really has a big effect on the outcome. And they say when we take our fears, we add fear plus imagination, that puts us on the road to despair. Light a match, burn the house, it's all lost, you know, go somewhere else. Worst fear plus your imagination leads to despair. But on the other hand, when our faith in Jesus, faith plus your imagination, that puts us on the road to hope. So fear plus imagination can be despair, but faith plus imagination equals hope. And that's what we're talking about today. So the book of Revelation is very much a book of faith and God's imagination of what our future will look like and what it will be and how that is supposed to encourage us and give us hope in the present time that we live in. So Revelation, as I said, is very often misunderstood with a lot of strange images that made easy sense to people 2,000 years ago, but we have a hard time making sense of today. It's a very Jewish way of writing and of God's images that he gives to John. But it is an image and images that show us that God is the king of the universe on the throne, like we talked about last week. And God is the king who will come one day as Jesus returns to come and make everything right in the world. Everything that's wrong will be made right. And Revelation gives us pictures of that, of Jesus reigning and then coming, as we just said in the creed, to restore, to put things right in his kingdom that will have no end. So today we're looking at the very, very last chapter of the Bible. That's the table of contents in the back, that kind of stuff. Very last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22. And it's most of it's printed there. I said we cut out a few verses. And at the very end of the Bible, God gives this vision to John. That's what Revelation is. John, most thing is John, the disciple of Jesus, and he was exiled. the only disciple that was not killed, so lived to old age, but exiled on an island in the Aegean Sea between Greece and Turkey, the island of Patmos. And he's given this vision by God, and God says, hey, write this stuff down, and so he does. And all this stuff appears in the sky, and he writes down, and that's the book of Revelation. But before we get to that, the very end of the Bible, we actually have to start way back at the beginning. Because when you read the end, and some of the things, the images we saw in the reading already today, are actually very similar ones that appear at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 2. So really interesting. So here is a few verses from Genesis 2. This is the creation story, the very, very, very beginning. Genesis 2, God creates, and it says, now the Lord God planted a garden in the east, in Eden. Sounds familiar, probably what you're expecting. And there he put the man he had formed. And then the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. And in the middle of the garden, there was a tree of life, and then also the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then there was a river watering the garden from Eden. So you have trees, tree of life, and a river. Okay, that's the beginning. Now to the end, that's the reading you have in your bulletin there. Revelation 22, the very last chapter of the Bible, try to listen for some of those same things. It says, then the angel, starting at verse 1, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne, we talked about throne last week, ascension, of God and of the Lamb, down to the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding fruit every month, and its leaves, I love this part, of the tree are for the healing of the nations. And no longer will there be any curse. So, hopefully, you're tracking a little bit. At the very beginning of the Bible, there is what? There's a tree, the tree of life. There's also waters of life too, but there's a tree. There's also the other tree of knowledge of good and evil. Hold on, talk about that in a minute. In the beginning, there's a tree of life, and there's absolute perfection between Adam and Eve and God, and perfect communion with God, and everything is perfect. But that all gets lost. And then you have, in my Bible, it's like almost 3 inches, you know, in between the beginning and the end. You have that whole rest of the story, and then you get to the very end, and those same things reappear. The tree of life comes back, and perfection is restored, and there's again eternal communion and peace with God. So at the beginning, you have the tree of life, and then at the end, you have the tree of life. So you can tell the story of the Bible as a story between two trees. I like to think of it as life between the trees. There's the tree of perfection, tree of life at the beginning, perfection, tree of life at the end, and we're in the middle somewhere, life between the trees. And that tree of life signifies the absolute perfection and communion with God that Adam and Eve rejected. They chose to eat from the other tree, the one that God said, trust me on this, avoid. And that totally broke their relationship with God, and therefore God bans them from the garden. He says, we don't have this relationship anymore. You broke it, therefore you can't eat from the tree of life anymore. So everything is broken in the world, and we don't have communion with God like they did. And then the next, 3 inches of my Bible is the story unfolding of God trying to, and God redeeming and getting his people back. The story of God coming to Abraham and patriarchs and prophets and kings and God calling his people, come back to me, come back to me. And then God sparing no expense to restore his people back to them, even at the cost of his own son. In Jesus, God redeemed the whole world, you and me, and sealed it with his life and death and resurrection. And that says that, that means that perfection has begun in Jesus, but it's not quite fully here yet. We look around and we can see a lot of hard things, sadness and sorrow and death and disease and all these brokenness. And so we're still in the middle of it. But the vision is, the imagination of the scriptures is that God will come and re-perfect and restore everything. So you get to the end of the Bible, and these similar pictures come back. River, tree, even throne. And the throne shows us that this is God's world. God is the one reigning over the universe. And the king will one day come to restore all things. And so that means, like we talked about last week, you don't have to worry about the latest news scare cycle. King's on the throne. The tree of life is coming back. You don't have to worry about that. So for this last week, what's it been? It's don't worry about Trump or Hillary, depending on your persuasion. Don't worry. Be excited that your hope and your confidence and your future are with Jesus. No matter what happens anywhere, Jesus is still the king on the throne. And the tree of life is coming back one day to make all things new. Or if your future just seems really uncertain in the coming months or coming years and you don't know what's going to happen, God is that king. And he was the king that was willing to come and die on another tree in the middle so that you could know that your eternal future is always secure. Or if your financial picture is in ruins or looks bleak, the crucified and risen one has promised to never, ever, ever leave you. And the hope and the imagination that Revelation gives us of our future with God means that we don't have to be afraid of things like disease and death and poverty. Yes, maybe in the short term, but in the long term, Jesus has answers for that. Every disease will be healed. Every death will be undone. And there will be no poverty in God's good future. You see, God wants us to have faith in him added to our imagination, and that brings hope. You see, hope is what gets people like Mother Teresa to serve to the poorest people in places like Calcutta. Well, by the way, in her first year there, she had to actually go on the street and beg for supplies and for food herself. Hope is what makes people like Martin Luther King Jr. stand up and say, "I have a dream." That is faith plus imagination. Hope is what gets people like Nelson Mandela out of bed every morning during long years of unjust imprisonment. Hope is what makes volunteers at a soup kitchen ladle out bowls of chicken and rice. You see, it is not hopeless people who go around the world and found hospices or adopt children with disabilities or move into dangerous neighborhoods in order to create long-term change. And coincidentally, or not so, throughout history, it has typically been Christians who have done these kinds of things. Why? Precisely because they believe and serve an arisen Jesus that is promised fully to recreate all things new when he returns. And so here you and I live between the trees. We live after the first tree of life and everything's broken, and before the final one when God comes to fully restore and recreate all things. We live in the middle of brokenness and despair, and we see it all around and we feel it. And yet, when we look at God's word, we see this picture, this imagination of what God promises in our future. And so when we live between the two trees, we actually cling to the third tree, the one that's right in the middle, and that's the one that Jesus died on. You see, the tree of Jesus' death then becomes our tree of eternal life. Amen.